Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today is an open mic day. Got lots of different things to share with you. Most importantly, you can call in at any time during the hour and chat with me. All I'll need from you is your first name or initial, and then let me go forward with that, and you're welcome to ask about any question that you like afterwards. So here are the toll-free telephone numbers for you to call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. From Canada, telephone numbers are 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, this show is being broadcast live from Fairbanks, Alaska. This is an area of the country that I have been traveling to for so many years. Alaska is just an absolute passion for me. Why? I think it's because I love the ruggedness of the place, but more than that, it seems like individuality reigns supreme up here in the far north, and I absolutely take such joy in that. As someone was talking to me on the plane when I was flying up yesterday, she said, yes, we're the Mavericks, we're the Renegades. We're the oddballs that don't fit in anywhere else. Now, that would not be talking about all of the population of Alaska, but if you know anything about Alaskan history, you know it was a real hardy bunch of people that decided to come up to this infamously cold, cold, rugged environment. Yet those that did stay ended up creating a world that economically has been phenomenal, but more than that, there's just so much here. It seems like if you come into Alaska for a while, you either love it or you hate it. And if you love it, it puts an impression on you that lasts for the rest of your life. It's like if you can make it in Alaska, you can make it just about anywhere on the face of this planet. So I have a very, very special place in my heart for the people in this state because, again, they've been such a significant part of my life. But regardless of that, due to technology, we're able to broadcast from anywhere, just about any time, any place. And with that being said, again, you can give me a call today because it is an open mic day, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, and I'll be delighted to interact with you. Well, I wanted to start off the show today with a story about an Olympian. Yes, this is a story that is not necessarily common knowledge to most people, and it's about one of the great athletes that came from Seattle, Washington. Of course, you all know, if you listen to the show regularly, that the Pacific Northwest is my home turf, and Seattle is my neighbor. And I just was amazed to find out about a woman by the name of Helene Madison. Now, she was a swimmer, and with her story is so unique. It's a story about how when a person is determined, when they really have a drive to do something, you're not going to be able to stop them. No matter what obstacles they encounter, they're really going to make it. They are going to really achieve what they want to achieve because they have that wonderful, wonderful aspect, tenacity. They're going to hang tough no matter what. Well, Helene Madison, and I've got a photo of her in front of me, she was 12 years old when she first started learning how to swim. And she had a race that she was asked to participate in. It was in a city water carnival. And as she was being taught how to swim, her coach held her feet and said, I want you to just fall forward because naturally you're diving in from the edge of the pool. Well, she did. She was scared to death. But at 12 years of age, She did exactly what a coach asked her to do. She won the race, and she never, ever stopped swimming after that. But it wasn't just that particular experience. It's what happened later on about her story that is so amazing. Now, this coach that was teaching her how to swim was observing her, how she went through the water, how she moved her body. Now, stop and think of it. When you're 12 years old, how graceful are you? Most of the time, you feel like you're first-class klutz. I mean, really, your muscles are developing. You haven't really got the coordination that maybe you'd like to have. When you look at the older kids, you go, gee, I wish I were them. I just feel like I'm all thumbs or I'm left feet. You just don't feel like you have very much to offer. But this coach knew what he was looking for. So he suggested that she try out at an elite crystal pool. It was in downtown Seattle. By the time she was 17 years of age, Helene seemed to be ready for the 1930 swimming nationals in Miami. Yes, we're going that far back. We're talking about someone who became an Olympic champion. So if you think that trials and tribulations belong just to this generation, far from it. This is one woman who had a life unlike what we would ever expect her to have. Now, her parents were operating a small dry cleaners. They couldn't afford to send her, but because of the wins that she had accomplished in her swimming competition, sponsors decided they were going to support her. Now, she didn't just win the races. She was breaking world records in every single race she participated in. Now, when she came back from swimming in the nationals in Miami, she got phenomenal recognition. Now, this was the biggest recognition since the parade they had after World War II. They said, or World War I, they said, this is just phenomenal. Now, in 1932, 2 years later, in the Los Angeles Olympics, she was recognized for having a phenomenal gliding stroke. She was a strategist, and she had a will for winning that amazed her competitors. And she, in that Los Angeles Olympics, won 3 gold medal races. She finished the 100-yard freestyle in 1 minute. Now, this is 1932. She was nearly 8 seconds ahead of everybody else and of the previous Olympic record at that time. She had achieved the aquatic equivalent of a 4-minute mile, and this was a record that stood in place for 10 years. At 19 years of age, they gave her the nickname Queen Helene, and she was named the Athlete of the Year, the greatest swimmer of all time. Porters were just thrilled with her. She had broken records 117 times in every course for 50 yards to a mile, and she never, ever lost a race. Well, what would you think if something like that happened to you? You'd feel like you were on the top of the world, wouldn't you? Well, Madison's choices and timing seemed to go awry. She was offered a world tour to go pro in a sport that didn't have a circuit developed. Now, she got paid for an exhibition swim, which was in Bitter Lake. She lost her amateur status and the shot at the 36th Olympics by working as a pro. Inevitably, she ended up going to Hollywood, which wasn't a surprise. Remember Johnny Weissmuller? Yes, he plays Tarzan. So she thought she could be just as fortunate as Johnny Weissmuller. However, there wasn't a female Tarzan role for her. So she ended up being in one movie. It was called The Human Fish, and it bombed. She tried to become a nightclub singer. And a year after the Olympics, she ended up selling hot dogs near her hometown. And she'd hear people remark to their children, if you want to be a swimmer breaking records, you need to be like Helene Madison. Now, at the time, because she was so skilled, because she had won 3 gold medals, she tried to get a job as a coach teaching swimming, but at the time in 1932, the Seattle Parks Department would not allow women instructors. She went in, studied nursing at Virginia Mason, and she decided that's what she was going to dedicate her life to. Now, General Mills offered her $50 to endorse Wheaties, and years later, she got the chance to teach swimming, the sport that she had achieved so much recognition through. Do you know what happened? She was challenged by some young college men that she was coaching. They were getting lazy. They didn't want to work. They looked at her. They made fun of her because they felt she was a has-been. Guess what she did? She challenged them to a race, and they were all beaten by her, even though she was a mature woman. Now, the sad thing about Helene is that by the time the 60s rolled around, she wasn't doing very well. She was living in a basement near her hometown. She was broke, and she was not doing very well at all. There was a reporter, however, that wrote about her, talked about what had happened in her life, the situations she had gone through, and money came in from people from all over the world to help her get out of her financial difficulties. This is a woman whose life was record-breaking on so many levels, and yet she really left a legacy that is so very, very important, even for the swimmers of today, for anyone. Choices, challenges, the two C's, are always going to be in our lives. The key was she still moved forward. And that's what we need to remember. When we're going through life, maybe we make a bad choice. Maybe we make a decision that isn't exactly going to bring us the perfection in our life that we want. So how do you handle it? What do you do with it? Well, the best thing is to look at it and ask yourself, what good can come out of this? How do you learn from it? Regrettably, in the 1930s, there weren't too many people talking about that. They weren't really out there. There was an attitude. There was a positioning that, gee whiz, this is the way it is. You can't make any changes. Do you know, I still hear that today. I hear people saying, well, you can't break through a glass ceiling. And this is for men and for women. It doesn't make any difference. But what is that glass ceiling? Sometimes we have to wait until the doors of opportunities open up for us. Sometimes we have to push on regardless. Maybe you'll get the recognition, maybe you won't. But I'll tell you something, if in your heart you have a dream and you really believe in that dream, and you understand that that dream is yours, it doesn't belong to anybody else, it is yours, and you cultivate it and you work with it to the best of your ability, keep your minds open, your attitudes open, you're going to find at some point there is going to be that connection that you can make. When you have a connection, you always do need to make the evaluation. Is this something I want short-term? Is this something I want long-term? Helene made a choice in her life, as phenomenal an athlete as she was. She made a choice in her life based on perhaps a lot of hype, people that wanted to have her in their camp because of who she was. But she really didn't have anybody to interact with that had any savvy. In the 1930s, women were considered something that, well, you were there, that's nice. If you look pretty, that's important. But you weren't evaluated really for your talents or for who you were as a person or looking at things as we do today. But that's nothing new. That happens with every generation. So it's up to us to try to surround ourselves with that kind of environment that is going to support us in the right kind of thinking, that is going to support us with those right choices. And if nothing else, have a mentor, someone that you can talk to that is going to enable you to see that it's not just A plus B equals C, that there's a lot of other combinations that are available. I think that was one of the most difficult things I've had to go through, I've had to grow through, I've had to learn. Lots of times people say, you shouldn't be able to do this. You're an anomaly. It doesn't work. Nobody's going to be interested in this, that, or the other. And then you find out that there is that group of people that's interested. What is it that makes it work? Choices and challenges. They are yours, and you need to realize that if you make a choice that doesn't turn out so good, it's okay to recognize it, drop it, move on to something else. You have challenges? Okay, it's sort of like going on a diet. What is it that you're going to do? What are your choices you're going to make? Are you going to empower yourself, or are you going to disempower yourself? What are you going to do? How are you going to work with yourself? Life is full of variables. And it's how you think, what you do with what you've got, and where you see yourself as you want your life to go. What's your integrity? What is it that you feel is the value of the gifts that you have to offer to life? How can you bring service into life? How can you do something that's economically going to empower you, at the same time you can have a passion for it and you can love it? All of these questions and even more can come up. Helene Mattson, I didn't know anything about her. It wasn't until I read the article by Eric Sigliano. But Eric, and this is a younger man, he found out about her. Why? Because the Olympics have been going on. So he did some research on Olympic history. He finds out about a woman, has a beautiful photograph of her. She was just as pretty as she could be. And then he learned about her life. And he so appreciated what she had accomplished, he recognized her. Now, she's not around to see that recognition. But I know the story that Eric put together has touched a lot of people's minds, hearts, and perceptions. And I think that's important. And that's why I wanted to share it with you today. So if you've got the heart of a champion, let that heart beat strong. But you're not in an age where you don't have options. You've got a lot of options. You've got an internet resource that you can tap into at any time. Don't be afraid to ask people questions. What can I do? Do you have any suggestions for me? If you were in my situation, what would you do? When you can do that with people and then realize they're going to give you the best of what they have, but you don't have to take what they say in stride. All you have to do is ask yourself, what do I want to do with it? Where do I want to go with it? Can I take a bit of it? Or do I want to discard the whole batch? That's the wonderful thing about being an individual. It really makes a difference, but it's always up to us to make those choices, good, bad, or indifferent. The ball is in our ballpark. And how do you want to play? How do you want it to go? Remember, it's up to you to make those choices. I want to share with you a delightful poem by Caitlin Powell. And I think I'm going to put that aside for just a moment. Yesterday, I had talked about some medical research that was coming along, and this sort of goes along the lines a little bit of what I was discussing with you. How are we going to do things? Today in our world, people are breaking through all kinds of barriers. They're asking questions. They're utilizing technology. They're going that extra mile to try to really figure out how they can do things better. And it's an ongoing thing. And I'll tell you, it's hard for me to keep up with a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's just amazing the material that I get across my desk. And yesterday on the show, before we had a caller call in, and by the way, today's an open mic, so if you want to give me a buzz, do so. Call me at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So just give me a buzz. We've got the whole hour here if you're interested. But I was talking about speech impediments. If ever you've known anybody that has had a problem, a lisp, maybe they just can't get their muscles in their mouth to work well. And I started to talk about it, but again, I wasn't able to finish it because we ran out of time. But there is a researcher, Christopher Genan, and he's with a particular institute, and he said the tongue, like any other human tissue, is a rather flabby body. Now, it sort of acts like a liquid and a solid, and he used the example of honey and rubber, at the same time. So whenever they've tried to help people know how to go past certain difficulties, maybe with stuttering or some other things that go wrong where they're not able to articulate clearly, then they've had a challenge. So they've tried working with all kinds of things, and the success rate has really been very, very poor. They've made some tiny steps, but this is what they've come up with. They've come up with utilizing dentures. That's right. They have put sensors into dentures, and this is in a laboratory near Grenoble, France. And he and his colleagues have just absolutely gotten incredible details about this. Now, what they have to do is use people where all of their teeth have been pulled out, because it has to be the full denture mouth. And they install dentures in 20 volunteers, and they had them do French tongue twisters over a course of 6 weeks. Now, the pressure sensors were placed in different positions in the palate of the dentures. And what it did, as the people were talking, remember, this is technology, new technology. They would send signals to a computer that was connected by wire every time they were touched by the tongue. So they had to work with this in the beginning. They had a preliminary set of dentures that had a powdered type of a coating that revealed where the tongue made the most contact. We don't think about that when we're talking. Your tongue is moving, it goes in and out, and just has all kinds of, what do I want to say, formations that it uses to create particular sounds. When they were able to recalibrate the dentures where they'd gone through this initial process, they found out that they had a tool that is able to gather extremely accurate data about tongue movement. How does this help? It's enabling them to do research regarding orthodontic devices such as braces and retainers. Who would have thought that that would have made any difference? That way, they're going to be able to develop braces and retainers. Think about your teenagers. Did you ever wear braces? Do you know how it feels to have a mouthful of metal and you're trying to talk? You really sound weird. Well, also, it's going to help that, but it's also dealing with oral surgery. Sometimes people get cancer of the mouth. How can they restructure the mouth? What can they do to be able to enable an individual to have as much of a normal speech patterning as possible? So this denture experimentation would enable them also to maybe develop a lifelike robotic speech, and they just say, all we need are people who are willing to wear these odd dentures. But remember, you can't have any teeth. But this is something that is making inroads that is going to provide health, wellness, and an ability with a person to be able to have a more comfortable speech patterning. What a difference that could make. I've known of people that have had tongue cancer where their tongue has been literally cut away, and they have a very, very difficult time speaking. They didn't have anything to do. Here we've got some medical research that will make a difference. I think it's astounding. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. By the way, for those of you listening in Alaska, I'm going to be here in Fairbanks until tomorrow afternoon. And then I will be flying down to Anchorage. So if you would like to meet with me, just give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. Also, some upcoming engagements that are evolving. For those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, I'm going to be at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo on September the 27th. Now, this is an all-day expo. I invite you to go to Boeing. ParapsychologyExpo.com, and you will be able to find out all of the details. I will have a booth there. I'm going to be doing many sessions for people, and I've got scads of books to share with you. So there's just going to be an opportunity to say hello. So the hours are from 9 until 6, and I hope to see you there. For those of you in the San Francisco area, I'm going to be at the Wisdom Festival. This is an outstanding event. This is going to be October 17th, 18th, and 19th. This three-day happening is going to be involving people that are in the know about health, wellness, mind, body, spirit connection. They're coming in from all over the country. This is being held at Fort Mason in San Francisco, California. So I invite you, please go ahead, check out their website, get all of the extenuating details. There, it's wisdomfestival.com. So that's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And I'm looking forward to having a couple of people on the show that are going to be speakers there as well. I'm also going to be speaking at the event, and I look forward to talking with you. You know, wherever I go in the country, if there's an opportunity for me to say hello and to interact with you, I'd like to do that. Also, I'm going to be appearing in Tampa, Florida. Teresa Tapp is going to be our guest tomorrow. She is going to be there doing a particular retreat. I have the good fortune to be able to be there. And we're going to be hearing about some of the spectacular things that are going to be well, that are going to be going on during this wonderful event. And I encourage you to go to ttap.com to find out more about her wonderful, wonderful program for wellness. And I'll tell you, it has helped me tone up, and I keep getting better and better with it. And it is, with my busy schedule, let me tell you, I've tried all kinds of things, and I don't have to worry about weights. I don't have to do anything but have her DVD with me and my little portable player. And wherever I go, Teresa's right there coaching me along, and 15 minutes is about all that I have time for. And it is making a big difference. Trust me on this one. It worked. So that's the lineup, and that's going to be in September. The second of October. The second and third of October, I'm going to be there, so we'll be broadcasting live from Tampa, Florida. So, yes, this lady is going to be traveling. Lots of things going on, lots of things happening. But wherever you are, just know that we're going to be broadcasting live right here at bbsradio.com, as always, unless I am going to be in the air flying, and I haven't figured out how we can do it from being airborne, but one day that may come along. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic day. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. How about a little bit of an astrological forecast for the fall? We've covered a number of signs. We've done Cancer, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Libra. So the signs we have left are Leo, Virgo, Aquarius, and Pisces. So let's go with Leo. This is for September, October, and November. You know, this month you have a negotiating capacity if you're a Leo that's just absolutely awesome. And you have a chance to really expand your networking with individuals, and also to develop some new friendships. So this is the month to really, really enjoy the communication with others. If you're born under the sign of Leo, October, you've got a lot of energy. Seems like fall is just absolutely the time for you to get your plans together, put it together with action, and make things happen. November, transition phase here. All of the energy that you will have put into your plans and action, this is the time to not lose your momentum. This is the time to really go forward, because you're going to be seeing some good results, people wanting to talk to you, and you're going to find that it's going to equate perhaps even into greater income for you. For those of you born under the sign of Aquarius for the month of September, man, you've got a lot on the ball. You've got a busy schedule, and you are really making some plans here. You're really wanting to get things together. Take some quiet time to think through how you want those plans to evolve. Also, in October, it seems like you've got a lot of pressure on you, so you're going to need to take some time to break away, to have some fun, to really enjoy some lighter moments, so that that problem-solving capacity of yours is really going to be operating at its best level. And in November, you need to pay attention to your money. You need to make sure that you really think first before you go and make any big expenditures. You want to be able to have more cash in the bank than not. So be alert, be aware. It's very easy. You're coming into the holiday time then. Think about how you want to spend your money. Conserve, because that cash is going to come in handy later on. Well, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is an open mic day. Also, I wanted to let you know tomorrow we are going to again have Teresa Tapp, and she's going to be with us in the first half hour giving us some good insights. And we're going to be having on Thursday and Friday The Unhappy Child, Dr. Kenneth Condrell, and then we're going to stoke the creative self. Yes, if you feel like you're sort of in that limbo zone where nothing's really happening, well, we're going to find out what Phil Cousineau has to say about that, and he's going to give you some good tools to work with. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Don't go away. I'm broadcasting live from Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Open mic today. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call into is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Now remember, if you're a first-time listener and you're wanting to call in, all I need from you is your first name or initial. And then after that, let me, of course I want to know where you're calling from, but after that, let me just tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me anything you like about anybody, any situation, and we'll just go from there. So give me a buzz if you would like to chat. By the way, I had someone contact me recently that said, Donna, I have a youngster that is going through some very interesting situations. She is seeing our relatives that have passed on. And it's, she doesn't understand why this is happening. And so everybody has intuitive ability. This is something that is just built into you. It's hardwired into you. But with every single one of us, we have different experiences. And so she wanted to know if I would make a comment about that on the show. And what I would say is, if you have a member of your family, or you know, if it's a little one, don't make fun of them, but instead ask a question. What is it that you're seeing? Tell me what you're seeing. And also, just don't try to make them say anything. Just let them tell you their story in their own way. And if you do that, what happens is that you may find that for a period of time, the child will be able to be very comfortable with this if you don't make this a good, bad, or indifferent situation. You just say, well, that's very interesting. Are they just showing themselves to you just to show them, or do they have something to say? And this is something that if you are at peace with it, don't make an issue out of it, you might be quite surprised at the information that comes through. Sometimes children, because they don't have any blocks about anything, they haven't been indoctrinated with anything at that time in their life when they're very young, they'll just tell you what they see and they'll describe the person, and you may or may not recognize that person. What's important is that they're communicating with you. Don't make fun of them. Don't put them down. Eventually, this often passes away. Why? Because the kids get very, very involved in whatever's going on. But let me share with you a couple of stories here that I have. One is about a woman that I met who was in her 70s, and this is many years ago, and I know she's passed on. But this woman was so gifted intuitively. She had a number of things in the way of experiences that she went through at a very young age. And one of the things that occurred to her, and she was just a little girl, she was just about 3 or 4 years old, and this relative came to visit them. As it turned out, it was one of her favorite aunts, and she said she came into the house, and I smelled all of these wonderful, wonderful flowers, and it was just, oh, it's so beautiful. And I turned to my mother after Auntie left, and I just said, Mom, Mommy, Auntie's not going to be with us very long. And her mother turned around and looked at her, and she said, what do you mean, Auntie's not going to be with us? She said, Auntie's going to be going to where the flowers are. Well, it was her childish way of saying that the aunt was going to die. And the mother just went ballistic. She spanked her. She just was so very, very upset with this child. She said, how dare you even say anything like that? Within 2 weeks, the aunt had passed away. And this 70-plus-year-old woman was sitting in front of me, and this is a good 40 years ago, and I had just started getting into working with the mind and with mind skills, and I thought, what in the world is she asking me these questions for? This is a mature woman. Well, this had plagued her all of her life. She said, I've never been able to understand why I have this talent, but she said it always comes about with this beautiful fragrance. Whenever I smell it around someone, I know that they're not going to be with us for very much longer. And she said, I considered it cursed. And I thought that was so sad. So we had a conversation. And I shared with her my thoughts that it wasn't a curse. It was a blessing. Because when you become aware of information like that, then that enables you to spend quality time with someone. That enables you to know that there's more to life than what we often perceive physically. And that there is beauty with the fact that a person is going to be moving on. And she was sort of at peace with that, but she said it was so horrible because of the response of the adults around her. And so she tried to suppress it, but it wouldn't go away. And finally, in her later years, she began to recognize that there was more going on than what she had been aware of or had even had exposure to. And, of course, at the time that she was a young child, there wasn't any material out there regarding out-of-body experiences and regarding, you know, communicating with people that have passed on and so on and so forth. And believe it or not, for those of you that may or may not have had these experiences, this has been going on forever. This is nothing new. But when you can communicate about things and when you can talk about things, then you don't fear what you don't understand. And so with her as a young child, she thought that this was something very bad, very ugly. Well, here we are talking. I'm in my 20s, and she is in her 70s. We're having this wonderful conversation, and I think she finally felt at peace with this, whereas before she just thought that she was a bad person. Why? Because of the way people approached her. So it's important for you to realize that when you have a sensitivity, when you're aware of things, whether it is color, some people can see auras, some people can see energy frequencies around individuals. Other people are healers. They'll work with their hands. They just know certain things. They have this intuitive process. Some have now expanded into the medical intuitive area. There's just so much out there we don't understand. So if you keep an open mind, don't be afraid to question, because that's good. That's healthy. And it's okay to be skeptical. It's not a bad thing. But understand that this is an innate part of you. And if you have a young child that is demonstrating abilities of the mind, if you don't have the understanding of it, then go and do some reading on it. But have open communication with that child so that child will feel safe in telling you about what goes on. That's what happened with my granddaughter. And my granddaughter, when she started seeing people on the other side, she said she realized that she had all of these relatives. So by the time we got through talking about it, she said, oh, all right, so these, you know, this is fine. I don't need to be concerned. That she was different from most of her friends, that's true, she was. But it meant that she expanded her thinking. And as far as I know, she still has this capacity. It's up to her as to how she wants to develop it or use it. Many people will not develop their intuitive processes, and that's their right and their privilege. But remember, your intuition is a part of you. It is a tool that you can use in a very positive way to empower you in your life. So I will say to you what I was told by my mentor so many years ago, and that is be sure you take the time to read. Educate yourself. When you have people like Edgar Mitchell, the former Apollo 14 astronaut, when you have scientists that are dealing with quantum physics, etc., and they are writing about the experiences of what we call paranormal at this time, which gradually are becoming very normal, it is something that is important because you realize this isn't in the woo-woo category. It is out of that. But it's when you understand the mechanics, and I don't know that we can understand the mechanics 100%, but when you can understand that you are the mechanism that this facility operates through, then you are going to, I should say faculty, that it operates through. When you do that, then you're recognizing that you can go out of the box with your thinking and you're going to be all right. It's not weird. It's not abnormal. It's not unusual. So, again, if you have a child that has these abilities on any level, don't make fun of them. Listen, because you're going to find sometimes it's absolutely fascinating what they will say and how clear they will say this. I had a guest on my show one time that talked about the indigo children, and now there's a new label that's come out, the crystal children. What is this telling you? It's telling you we are finally recognizing that these abilities belong in life. And there are those that are going to have those abilities much more strongly than others. But if you honor it, respect it, and understand it is merely a tool, then that is something that you are going to make comfortable for the child, something they won't be afraid of, and something that may lead them into a very unique line of work, but also enable them to understand that their sensory system is there to work for them, not against them. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we're going to be taking a break in the moment. This is an open mic hour. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. You out job hunting? Is it something that you really want to do and do well? Well, I've got some examples of what you don't want to do if you're job hunting. They're funny, and I'm going to be sharing them with you when we come back. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I wanted to share some tips. To me, it's amazing when you hear about people, what they do on certain job interviews. These are some things you don't do, for heaven's sakes. You know, if you are out looking for a job, you always want to give the best image possible. And almost everybody I have encountered is pretty professional about how they do things. But sometimes people just are amazing at what they do. Now, what would you do? Put yourself in the positioning of being the interviewer. What would you do if the person that was in front of you, if you asked them how, you know, if they would feel, how they would feel about giving a commitment to a job, that you knew that typically people stayed on jobs about 2 years and transfer. That seems to be the average anymore. Well, what if you were asking about that aspect? What if you presented a question? What would you feel if someone said to you they wouldn't stay with a job long because they might get an inheritance if their uncle died and the old man wasn't looking too good at the time? Well, I think you'd pass over that one pretty quickly. Also, cell phones. Oh, I just love them. I think they're great, but they've caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. What if you, as an interview, had someone sitting in front of you, their cell phone rings? Key number one, when you're doing an interview, don't leave your cell phone on. Turn it off. But if it rings and you tell the person, you, who would be the interviewer, that you need to leave your office because you have to have a private conversation. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would go over real big, wouldn't it? And then sometimes you wonder where people's brains are. Well, you have someone sitting in front of you, and they will not give you a writing sample because the work they had done before was for the CIA, and their writing was classified. Oh, yes. We get all kinds of things. I just thought I would share a couple of those with you, because when you're out looking for a job, remember, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. So you want to always be putting forth the best image. And thinking before you speak, I think, can go a long way. But, boy, people do some of the weirdest things, I'll tell you. Now, hey, how about acupuncture? What if you had some physiological problems and you would love to know a quick fix? How could you do something for yourself? Well, I came across this material, and I thought, okay, how can somebody really use acupuncture well? And these were some suggestions. Nicola Nyberg is an individual that put this together. And I thought, this, what would it hurt? Go ahead and try. Now, if you've got a stuffy nose, sometimes we feel, you know, maybe there's a lot of dust going on, and all of a sudden we just feel all chugged up in the sinus department. Now, what you want to do, you want to apply pressure to the side of each of your nostril. And you don't want to pull a hole in your face, but you do want to put a little bit of pressure there. Now, why does that work? Well, there's a particular nerve, the trigeminal nerve, and that nerve brings sensation from the face to the brain. Now, what this does when you push on the side of your nostrils, you will find that it causes the cells in the sinuses to contract, opens up the nasal passages, and you'll be able to breathe easier. Now, they have found through research that this works so well that 99% of the acupuncturists that deal with people that have rhinosinusitis, they say it treats sinus and nasal symptoms very, very successfully. Now, what's the big one? How about cravings? Yes. Well, the front of your ear, just right in front of that little, sort of like a nodule in your ear. Now, what you do, you just very gently activate the area by just pressing it, and you just want to follow the curve of your outer ear up and over until it ends just above the flap. Now, what this does, it slows the movement of food through the GI tract, which causes your appetite to be reduced. It helps to shut off cravings. What if you're in a situation that you had every dessert in the world in front of you, like a super buffet, and you're saying, I just don't want to eat this stuff. What do I do? I'm getting this craving. I want something really sweet. Then, again, follow the curve of your outer ear up and over until it ends just above the flap. Now, they did a study on this, and those subjects that they had that were overweight did this on a regular basis. They were able to control. They found it was easy to step away from their cravings, and it had the impact on the brain. Migraine. Oh, I've got a friend that suffers with migraines like you wouldn't believe. They're nasty things. What do you automatically do? Often, I don't know about you, but when I get headaches, I'm rubbing the temples. Well, the reason migraines happen is that there's too much blood flow through the blood vessels in the brain. When you apply pressures to your temples, it lessens the blood flow there, just as some of the prescription medicine that you take for a migraine will. But unlike medication, which constricts blood vessels all over your body, acupressure works only at the site of the pain. So you're going right to the site of the pain. In one study that was done, patients who tried it had 22 fewer days of headaches through the year. This is safe. It's not going to hurt anything. Try it. See if you like it. What about back pain? There's a spot, a crease behind your knee, a spot in that crease. It's an acupoint that boosts circulation along the spine, and it releases pain-causing blockages. Now, Gina Lepore, she's with the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine in New York, has used this for years. She said when they researched this, using acupressure versus physical therapy for back pain, 89% of the patients found that acupressure was more effective. Nausea. Sick to your stomach, boy, you need something really fast. Your inner arm 2 inches below the wrist. Now, when you feel queasy, your diaphragm is tensing up, going into spasm. But when you stimulate that acupoint, it calms the diaphragm and the entire stomach region. Voila, nausea's gone. They did this with pregnant women. Those of you that are out there expecting babies, oh, this is going to come in so handy. If you have morning sickness, again, any kind of nausea, those people that wore wristbands that put pressure on this spot for 14 days didn't have nausea at all during the time. And then, if you're feeling down in the dumps, the webbing between your thumb and forefinger is the area for acupressure. It produces, when you put your thumb and forefinger on that webbing between the fingers there, it produces a rush of feel-good brain chemicals. Now, in Beijing Medical University, the researchers tested and tracked women with depression and found that 96 of them improved within 2 weeks doing this. We are learning so much about acupressure. It wasn't until the 70s that we opened up the opportunity for the wisdom of the East to come into this country. Not that there weren't some people that were aware of it. There were a few. But after the relations with China in the 70s started to develop, all of this information started evolving out little by little by little. So it's a wonderful area of research, anything from a stuffy nose to being down in the dumps. There are ways that you can work with the body so that it's natural and it can empower you to feel better. So I just thought I would share that with you today. Well, I know we're almost out of time here. This is Donna Siebel. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Teresa Tapp. We are going to be learning how to be fit and fabulous in 15 minutes. And by the way, she has just got so many wonderful tips that we're going to be sharing. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kenneth Condrell, the unhappy child, what every parent needs to know. He's going to be discussing that. And then we're going to be stoking the creative. Yes, getting those creative juices of yours really going. This is Donna Siebel broadcasting live from Fairbanks, Alaska. Tomorrow we'll be here same time, same place, right with bbsradio.com. And I look forward to interacting with you again. We're going to have a great show. And tell your friends, remember always the show is on archives. And if you've missed something, then you can always come back at your listening convenience to hear what you weren't able to be with live when it was being broadcast the first time. So those archives are always available to you. Remember, too, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now. Have a great one. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.